Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with bonkers.ie, Ireland's favourite comparison and switching website. Visit bonkers.ie today and start saving on your household bills.
1850 715 815.
Hello, good afternoon, and you're very welcome to Liveline. And 51551, wash your hands, is our text number as always. Let me go first to John Boyne. John has the award-winning writer, nearly 20 novels at this stage. John, beginning, go back to The Boy in the Striped Pyjamas, 50 languages translated. But John, how are you, John, for a start?
I'm very well. Hi, John, how are you doing?
And where are you, by the way? Are you in Dublin? I saw you in Australia.
I was in Australia, but I got back a few weeks ago, and I'm at home in Rathfarnham now at the moment.
Okay, and you're fine and well, and
I'm fine, not a bother on me.
I'll be
staying in most of the time.
Okay, a writer's life is a solitary one anyway, isn't it?
It's not much different, to be honest. Yeah.
Okay. Now you have an idea of your own, and you want to use Liveline to broadcast. So go ahead, John.
Yeah, well, I was thinking about the fact that so many kids are off school at the moment and they're isolated at home and they're trying to think of something to do. And there's a lot of creativity, I know, among Irish children from going into schools. So I'm setting up a short story competition in three categories, 6 to 10-year-olds, 11 to 14-year-olds, and 15 to 18-year-olds.
Okay.
And we have a prize fund of 3,600 euros. In national book tokens, which has been donated by myself and Cecilia Ahern.
Well done.
And we're going to have six judges, myself and Cecilia, Anne Griffin, Claire Kilroy, Donald Ryan, and Paul Murray.
Okay.
And what we're asking kids to do is to write just a 300-word short story.
Okay.
Now, 300 words is very difficult. It's so short that you've got to get you've really got to think about every single word that goes into it.
Okay.
And then we're going to pick from all the entries that come in, we're going to have in each category an overall winner who will get a 200 euro book token, five winners of 100 euros, and 10 winners of 50 euros.
Okay. And that comes to about
come to 3,600.
Well done. Well done. Okay, so, and they send the story, 300 words, three categories, 6 to 10, 11 to 14, 15 to 18, and they send them to?
They send them to an email address, which is johnboynestory@gmail.com. But if they go on my website or my Twitter feed, they'll see the link to all the details and all the rules and everything like that. So either my website, which is johnboyne.com, or my Twitter, which is @John_Boyne, and all the rules and details will be on there. We're going to keep it open for a week from today.
Okay.
And basically just, get thinking about a 300-word story, send it in, and spend some time on it. You don't have to get it in today. And hopefully it will just get kids being a bit creative during this time.
And when did you come up with the idea, John?
I just came up with it last night, really, after listening to Leo Varadkar on the TV. And I was thinking, everybody's trying to do something. Everybody is thinking of what they can do maybe to help in some way. And that's what he was saying. And that's why I messaged you and said, I'm thinking about this. What do you think? Should I, is this something you'd be able to publicize? And it just seemed like, something to do, I suppose,
while we have it, 300 words, give our budding writers a few hints. How do you get a short story into 300 words?
Well, the most famous short story of all time is 6 words.
Yeah.
And it's by Ernest Hemingway. Baby shoes for sale, never worn. I hope I got that right.
Brilliant, you did, yes, brilliant.
You can actually get a lot into a short amount. I remember about 10 years ago when the old Sunday Tribune was still running, I used to do a weekly 500-word short story for that. And I kept it to 500. If it was like 502, I would have to find 2 words to cut.
Okay.
So I kept it to 500. And a lot of the time with a short story, you don't really need a beginning, a middle, and an end. You just kind of need a middle. You come in when the action has started.
Okay.
You leave the reader wanting more. And it will be about the sentences that you create within those 300, the characters, the ideas. Hopefully, we're going to get a lot of entries. And the six of us, six writers who are reading it, we're looking for the ones that will just jump out at us as being inventive, imaginative, sad, funny, scary, whatever, you know, just something that really jumps off the page.
And when you say 300 words, John, do you mean a max of 300 or must be exactly 300?
Oh, no, a max.
A max, okay, good stuff. So it can be, if anyone can beat the Ernest Hemingway short story, what's a baby shoes for sale never used?
Yeah, incredible. Never worn, yeah.
Never worn, incredible.
So yeah, anything up to 300, but it cannot be 301.
Okay.
Up to 300.
And you're strict on that. Now, are you
very strict?
That's the way. And John, are you ready to be overwhelmed?
Well, after I messaged you last night, I messaged the other writers, Anne and Claire and Cecilia and Paul and Donald, and said, you know, I don't know if I'm going to get like 10 entries or 10,000 entries, but you know, are you on board? And every one of them came back instantly and said, "Yep, fine."
Okay, well done. So the judges are Donald Ryan, again, another incredible writer. Cecilia Hearn, brilliant, popular writer. Anne Griffin, I read her book, her fourth book actually recently, it's superb.
Yeah.
It's won awards. Who are the other judges?
Paul Murray, Skippy Dive.
Paul. Yeah.
And Claire Kilroy, who wrote Tenderwire, and All Names Have Been Changed, and myself. So that's six.
Right stuff. So, and what are you working on yourself at the moment? I don't presume you have to be toiling in the loft every day.
I have a new book coming actually in July.
Okay.
And I'll probably get a copy of that to you soon. It's called A Traveller at the Gates of Wisdom, sort of a long historical novel. But other than that, you know, I suppose I'm feeling a little bit less energetic right now, maybe, even though I am usually at home. I suppose we're all feeling a bit strange. But hopefully this reading will keep me going over the next week. You know, I would just love it if we got a couple of thousand entries. It would be fantastic. But overall, 48 different people will win a book token. Oh, and I should mention that the Gutter Bookshop in Dublin are going to give us the cards and the envelopes, but the tokens themselves will be national book tokens.
Great.
So they can be used all over the country.
Okay, somebody's just pointing out to me that Shakespeare wrote a King Lear during the plague.
And
he was under quarantine at the time.
All right, that's good to know.
No,
sounds like a novel in itself.
No pressure, John.
Yeah. That's the rest of my day sorted.
No pressure. John, stay on for a second if you can, because I mentioned earlier, listeners have been contacting us to say that they don't think, young people especially, understand what exponential growth is. In other words, we're told that one person with coronavirus can infect two. It's 2.4, I think. And then two can infect four, and four, eight, and how quickly that can expand. And they said there is a story that explains this. It's called The King's Chessboard. Now, AJ Carty is 10 years of age, and he's on the phone with permission of his mother. AJ, good afternoon.
Hello, Drew.
How are you?
Good.
Are you? You're not in school, obviously, AJ.
No, I'm not.
Okay. Are you tempted to enter John Boyne's short story competition? 6 to 10.
I am very tempted. Yeah, I am.
Are you? Good.
Yes.
300 words. Okay. Now, you know the story, I'm told, of the King's chessboard.
I do.
Okay. Will you explain it as best you can, especially to your age group, AJ, if you can?
I will. I'll try to. There was... a wise man once who did a performance for a king of a kingdom in India.
Okay.
And after that performance, the king said, "I must reward you."
Okay.
And the wise man said, no, it's okay. But then the king said, "I insist that you take something."
Okay.
Something that caught the eye of the wise man was the chessboard beside
the king. Yeah, okay.
And as you all know, a chessboard has 64 squares.
Okay.
And the wise man said, for every day, I would like... So tomorrow, I'd like a grain of rice.
Yeah.
And the next day, I'd like that double. So that's exponential growth. So
that's what again, AJ?
Exponential growth.
So he gets the wise man said he's wiser than we all thought. I suppose he said, "Your Highness, put a grain of rice on the fourth square on the chessboard today. You double it tomorrow on the second square. You double it again and again until you fill the 64 squares. Is that correct?"
Well, kind of. kind of. So, okay. What he said was, could you give me one grain of rice the next day too? So the first day was one grain of rice.
Yeah.
The second day two.
Yeah.
The third day four.
Yeah.
Four.
Yeah.
Then six. Then eight. Then 10. Then 12. Then 14. No, then 16.
But does it not go up? Does it not double every day?
It does. And
1, 2, 4, 8. 16, 32, isn't that was the trick that the wise man pulled on the king. And by the way, by day 64, AJ, how many grains of rice were on the last square on the chessboard?
You're not going to believe it, but 18 trillion.
18 trillion?
18 trillion.
Wow, because not only he would have nine trillion on the last square, but then you add up the previous 63 squares and you get another whatever. So the total is what?
18 trillion.
18 trillion.
At the exact, yes.
Okay, so if, now the good thing about the world we're in now is, that is what, as you describe it, exponential growth. That's what we're told is the worry about coronavirus, that it, one person infects two persons. Two people can infect four, eight, 16, 32. And it's just pointing out that by the time you get to the end of a chessboard, you're into trillions. Now, the good thing about the world we live in, at the minute anyway, is that the moment someone gets it, there's a whole tracing system. They try and find out who you were in touch with. So they try and keep the chessboard as short as possible. Isn't that the idea at the minute,
yes,
of us trying to suppress the virus and flatten?
And they don't exactly want it to go to 64 squares.
No way. But it just shows you that if you use a phrase, oh, just double it every day, within 64 days you're into trillions.
Yes.
Okay. That's very well explained, AJ. Well done. Well done. John, can AJ enter your competition?
He certainly can. What age was he? 10?
10, yeah.
10, yeah.
Yeah. Anybody from 6 to 18, three different categories.
6 to 10, 11 to 14, yeah.
I should have mentioned as well that people should know that some of these stories, the winners, all going well, we might be able to read some of these out, I think we were saying, on your show eventually.
Yeah, great.
So people need to, you know that.
Okay. And by the way, somebody said, is it only email?
Yeah, I think it's the easiest way to be honest.
Okay,
yeah.
So if you haven't got email, ask somebody. And you obviously, well, we presume, but we obviously, you want them obviously typed. You don't want them scanned.
Either a Word document or a PDF. But I've just put on Twitter now, I've put the link.
Good man, okay.
To the site so that all the rules will be there. And you just click on the email address within that and it should open up an email to send it to this account.
Okay. And John, had you heard of the story, the King's Cheese Board?
Chessboard. But I am glad to know what
Over my head is at the minute. The King's Chess Board. Have you heard of it?
I haven't until today, but thank
Brilliant.
You, AJ. You know,
well done, AJ.
The story
yeah.
is good.
And just every household, most households have a chessboard or a draughts board or whatever, fold up one in cardboard. And just look at it and explain when your brother and sister come in or whatever, your friends, and keep social distance. But explain to them what exponential growth means. Explain what doubling every day, how it can get you into the stratosphere of numbers. As AJ said, I think 18 trillion. Within a relatively short period. Okay, John, you say are you saying you're cast down by this? Obviously you're not. You're in great form with this and yourself,
no,
and Cecilia Hearn. But
lazy.
Okay. How are you? What are you reading at the moment?
I'm reading a book called The Boyfriend by Laura Southgate. It is a New Zealand writer. I just picked it up while I was in Australia there recently.
Okay.
So yeah, reading that.
Okay. And what books would you recommend? Obviously, your own books are all, they're all there on your website. They're all available. They're all in your local library. They're all in your local shop. I'm thinking of the other writers. You mentioned Paul Murray. I loved The Mark and the Void. It's out about 3 years, is it?
Yeah,
super story set in modern Dublin, so to speak, the financial services centre. Really funny. Cecilia, we know how popular Cecilia is. Anne Griffin's book has a great twist in it.
When all is said, and
that is a great twist in it. Did Donal have a book of short stories recently? I think he did.
No, but he's got a new novel coming in August.
Okay,
I believe so. There's that coming, and Claire is working on her fifth novel. I think
Claire Kilroy, really popular writer. More entertainment news, John. Eurovision 2020 has been cancelled.
I saw that online.
And we need entertainment at the moment. But anyway, those decisions are made for health reasons, which are the best reasons at the moment. Absolutely best reasons at the moment. Any other books apart from your own, John, that you'd recommend?
This year I really liked Such a Fun Age by Kylie Reid. An American writer, a debut, and it's a fantastic book about an African-American nanny who brings a little white child that she's minding to a supermarket and basically gets racially attacked while she's there. And also John Banville's book as B.W. Black, The Secret Guest.
Oh, that's great.
Takes the idea of if Princess Elizabeth and Princess Margaret had been sent to Ireland during the Blitz. And it's a fantastic...
I listened to it on... Radio, it was Book of the Week on Radio 4 recently, and it's superbly read. Is it Niall Buggy? I must find out who was reading it.
Right.
It's a great story. It's a great
story. Yeah, I really liked it.
Okay, just John Boyne. The email address is not Liveline, by the way. We'll put it up on our website, but the email address for that 1 week short story competition is John Boyne Story, one word, B-O-Y-N-E, johnboynestory@gmail.com. It couldn't be simpler. All the rules and regulations are there as well, but it is a fun competition, so we don't want anyone going to the High Court because they miscounted 301 words.
Yeah. Just to get kids doing something imaginative during this time. But I would encourage people to go onto Twitter just to read the rules and all that before submitting.
Stay with us for a sec, John Boyne, because Deirdre Doherty teaches in St. Joseph's in Drogheda. Deirdre, you're not teaching at the moment in terms of face-to-face, but you are working. Deirdre, good afternoon.
Hi, Joe. How are you?
You're listening to John Boyne. There's a coincidence in what you were doing this morning.
Yeah, we're just working through the DARE as our prescribed novel for Junior Cert English. Actually spent the morning with third year English class looking at the key moments in that novel. So when I heard John, I thought I'd let him know. And I think maybe tomorrow I might encourage the students to get involved in the competition.
Okay. And what type of questions are on the exam paper about John Boyne's...
What happens is, Joe, the students select a novel from a prescribed list they'd be asked everything from life lessons learned through to favourite characters, everything, theme, tone, technique.
And they ask questions like, what was the author thinking?
Well, they might ask you sometimes to imagine if you were the author.
Yes.
Would you have written a different ending?
Yes.
Or if you could write a letter to John Boyne, what might you say to him? The boys, I teach boys, and they love the boy in the striped pyjamas as well. John would be very popular.
Do you want to ask John any questions now? What were you thinking of?
Well, I mean, I suppose I'd just ask John what was his inspiration for the DARE, because it speaks volumes to young people.
I wrote that shortly after Striped Pyjamas, and because that book is obviously a historical book, I wanted to write something contemporary. And for those who don't know it, it's about a little boy whose mother, at the start of a summer holidays, knocks over a kid on the street who's in hospital.
Okay.
And it's the effect of this on his life. So, you know, I always like to put children in quite adult situations in these books and see how they cope.
Okay. Well, this one has been very successful. Students really love the DARE, I have to say.
Brilliant, thank you.
So I commend you. And as I said, I think I might have your competition as a task for them. We're setting online tasks.
Great.
Brilliant.
It's a bit of a carrot
Between John and Cecilia Hearn, there's €3,600 in book vouchers, which is brilliant.
Yeah, no, it's a great idea, because great it'll idea. Also be a, kind of a chance to practice a bit of writing, which at this time is essential. So.
Okay.
And it's not too, like 300 words, not going to take forever.
And John, where did you get the idea of a woman in a hit and run? She knocks down a child.
She knocked down a child, and the child's in a coma.
Okay.
And over the summer, then her son then has to deal with what's going on in his family because of this. I don't really know where ideas come from. You know, I always say to like students that if you're reading all the time and you're writing all the time, then I think your brain is open to ideas. You know, you're, it's a muscle in some way, and you're constantly thinking of things. So that one is, I mean, that must be 13 years old, so I don't really remember, but...
Okay.
A good one for people to read over the next few weeks. Great. If you haven't read it, read it.
Okay. Well said. Thanks indeed, Deirdre Doherty. Thanks indeed, John Boyne. Thanks. Is AJ gone? He's gone off to write the short story, is he? Well done, AJ Carty, explaining exponential growth through his one of his favourite books, The King's Chessboard. John Boyne, good to meet you, John. Stay well and look after yourself. That's John Boyne. And all the details, johnboynestory@gmail.com, or you can follow John on Twitter, and all the details are there. Not us, johnboynestory@gmail.com. 51551, wash your hands.
Talk to Joe on 1850-715-815.
Joe at rt.ie and 51551, wash your hands. And 2 hours ago, just after 12 o'clock, Dr. Ciara Kelly, you all know Ciara, who was previously on Operation Transformation. She's now a very successful broadcaster on News Talk and won the IMRO Award of the Best Interactive Phone Show in the last year. Ciara, good afternoon. You announced you have coronavirus. When did you discover this, Ciara? Well, first of all, how are you, I suppose, is the most important thing.
Hi, Joe. It's a bit surreal to be on, to be honest. Okay. I got sick over the weekend and I became kind of flu-y and unwell, and I'm very hardy. I never get sick. I'm a doctor, so we tend to be like horses. We don't ever get sick, really. And I recognized that I was starting to feel very unwell and flu-y, and I'll tell you the symptoms in a moment. But anyway, I ended up being swabbed on Sunday, and then last night, at about, bless them, they're working their socks off, but at about maybe 6 or 7 o'clock last night on St. Patrick's Night, I got a phone call from Public Health and the HSE to say I had it.
And when did you go for the test, Ciara?
A lovely paramedic, came to my home on Sunday morning in a hazmat suit, and he swabbed my throat and he swabbed my nose, and basically he went away, and we were waiting until last night to find out.
And you got the word. And how are you feeling right now?
I felt better, to be honest. I'm very flu-y, and I have a headache, and I'm kind of getting, you know, the sweats and the chills a little bit, and those types of things. I have a cough, and I have, my chest is a bit tight, and I've had at different times over the weekend, certainly on Saturday, my breathing wasn't great. I was short of breath, and I had a lot of burning when I was breathing and stuff. That's why I got the test, because I went, this isn't normal at all. So I feel like I have a bad dose, and I'm still on air. I'm broadcasting lunchtime live from the hot press of my house, which is where I'm sitting talking to you now. But in between those things, I go back to bed. So I'm in my pyjamas, Joe. We're chatting in the pyjamas.
And Ciara, have you any idea where you picked it up?
I do have another family member who was also swabbed, and for whatever reason, their result isn't back yet, and they were sick the day before me. So I'm presuming it came from there. But having said that, we don't know where they got it. If that's where it came from, I don't know. I we weren't anywhere. I wasn't abroad. Mm. I wasn't away.
Yeah.
And I've been washing my hands like you wouldn't believe.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, I've been doing all the right things. And I was the one in all my groups of friends and everything else talking about social distancing, giving them a pain when no one else was talking about it. So I was already distancing and doing all those things. I don't know is the truth. But somewhere in the community, presumably, because we haven't been anywhere.
And have you, well, I don't know how you could, given they're so busy otherwise, but have you been running a GP practice, Ciara?
No, Joe, I was in practice full time till November 2017. And then when I went full time in News Talk on air on a daily basis, like yourself, it's very hard to do anything else. Mm-hmm. So I moved then out of clinical practice and moved into working in radio full time. Okay. So that's what I've been doing.
So you haven't?
That's where I am.
And
No, I haven't been seeing patients.
Yeah, okay. Well, that's good news in one sense, isn't it?
Yeah. Although I have to say, when this illness phase of this for me passes, I'm certainly thinking of seeing patients again. I think it's time.
What do you mean, given the crisis?
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I think there's a value in being on air and public broadcasting, so I think I'll do that as well. But I believe that they'll take you part-time in all different types of ways at the moment in the HSC. So I'm infectious currently, so I can't do anything. But that's not forever, and when that changes, I will offer my services in whatever way they feel that they can be put to use.
Excellent. And Ciara, do we know, once this passes, and I know you're feeling very fluey, as you did, you have that dreaded cough, by the way, that people talk about?
I did. I had, you know, I'll tell you what I had. It started weirdly, not with a cough. It started with a sore throat, but then it became a cough, and it became a tightness and a pain in my chest on breathing. I had a lot of chest pain. Okay. Not like a harsh chest pain, but like I had a symptom I've never had. And that's why I thought, this is new. This is something different. Mm. I was burning from the back of my throat and my nose. I was burning all the way down into the middle of my lungs. Okay. A horrible sensation, actually. And I went, I don't know this. I don't recognize this. I've never had this in my life. This is something weird and different, and I'm sick. Could this be corona? Mm-hmm. And yes, it is.
Yeah. And have you been, insofar as, have you been told 2 weeks?
No, I what I've been told is self-isolate, which I am, and then I've been told, obviously, if I get worse, as may be, because the symptoms tend to peak around days 7 to 9.
Oh, did you? Okay.
So if I get worse, obviously, I need to contact the ambulance services, who would deal with somebody like me now, and tell them I'm a positive case, and they won't tell me what to do. But I'm not thinking that's going to happen, Joe, and I'm not thinking along those lines at all. But my understanding is, for as long as I'm symptomatic, I'm infectious, and for a period of 14 days, when I'm well again, I'm infectious, and then I'm good to go. There's a positive in this. I'm good to go, and I'm immune. And an immune doctor in a pandemic is not a bad thing.
And are you immune if you get it and come through it, which the vast majority of people will?
Yes.
Are you automatically immune? In other words, can you get it again?
There is talk of potentially getting it again, but my understanding is it wouldn't be something you would get straight away again, that there is talk that this virus may, a bit like a flu, may mutate, etc., and those types of things could happen. But my understanding is I would certainly be fairly, I mean, obviously I'd still have to have the protective equipment and all that, but it would be stupid not to, but I'd be fairly bulletproof for a while, yes.
Okay. And can you tell, does anything alleviate the symptoms? Paracetamol or...
I have been taking paracetamol, and I have been taking some sulpidine when paracetamol wasn't enough. And I've been avoiding, as is the guideline, I have been avoiding anti-inflammatories and ibuprofen and those types of things, because even though those WhatsApps going around were completely fake, we do believe paracetamol is first line. And I've been resting, to be honest, because you get I've been getting headaches and stuff. I've been going to bed and having a nap and things like that because I haven't really been fit to do much else.
And the headaches, are they severe headaches, Ciara, or...
No, it's like, do you know when you're muggy headed and your head like has a pressure on your head? Do you know that kind of a headache? It's not a sharp headache or a stabbing pain or anything. But I have a dull ache kind of at most of the time, to be fair. Mm-hmm. But we're all right. I don't want to be too negative.
Yeah, your tone says it all, Ciara. You're very reassuring. You're definitely not panicking. As I said earlier when I heard about it, as I said to Rowan and Collins, you weren't listening because you were on air at the time. But I just said to Rowan,
I did not hear.
No, we gave you mention that program as well, Ciara. But you're probably in one, you're the best known person in Ireland so far who's got it, unfortunately. And two, you happen to be a medical doctor. And three, you happen to be a broadcaster. So you're
ideal. It's a very weird Venn.
It's an incredible trinity.
It's a very weird Venn diagram. Yeah, as a patient and a medic, and also with a broadcast platform, it's very odd, obviously. And I who knew? You know, I suppose the message I would put out of this is I didn't know a first-hand contact. I didn't travel anywhere odd, and I was already coughing into my elbow, washing my hands, and doing the thing. So it's clearly easy enough to get. So social distancing is very important, and people need to stick with that and to mind themselves very much. But also, I do have a dose. It's like having a fairly lousy, well, mine is. I know some people have no symptoms, kids and that, and they're very mild. But for me, I feel like I have a lousy dose, like a lousy flu, but very manageable. I had a few ropey hours maybe over the weekend where my chest was very sore, and I kind of went, don't like this. But that passed. and I'm now just a bit miserable, but I'm all right. And I have no doubt but that I will come out the other side of this and I will be well, like most people will be well. And that's a good message for people to remember.
Okay. And what about your appetite?
It's not as good, but sometimes I think that's that's a mixed blessing. I wouldn't be starving at the moment, but I'm making myself eat because I feel if I don't eat a bit of toast or whatever, I'll get weak. So I'm making myself eat, but I'm not overly hungry now.
And when people say 7-Up and you know all the usual, get loads of soft drinks into you.
I'm a fan of them. I'm a fan of the Maiwadi. I'm having the Maiwadi orange and and a bit of paracetamol and a bit of bed rest, and I'm kind of getting sick of Netflix and things like that. But that's where it's at.
Have you a temperature?
I didn't have a temperature. As I say, I'm waiting on a test result for another family member. They had a very high fever for 3 to 4 days. I was getting hot and cold and that feeling of chills and sweats and that you feel, but my temperature remained normal. I was clearly unwell, but I didn't have the classic. I mean, I started with a sore throat and I didn't have a fever, and yet here we are. So there is a bit of variation in the symptoms for people, and people should be thinking now in the community, if they have any respiratory systems, cough, sore throat, temperature, wheeze, any of those feelings that they might have, presume now that you have it and isolate yourself and look for a test.
And the cough is a dry cough, isn't that correct?
Well, yeah, it is. Although it is. And it's an irritating, tickly kind of a thing that it's not like a big chesty cough where you're bringing up phlegm. It's not that cough, but it kind of makes you short of breath, the cough, and it's a bit unpleasant. But it's a bit like having a if you've ever had asthma, anybody, it's a bit like feeling a small bit asthmatic-y and flu-y at the same time.
Well, people do worry about the you mentioned breathlessness.
I know.
People worry about that, don't they?
They do, I was worried myself even about me, and I'm not a worrier, but it passed. And what I would say to people, I'm pretty level-headed. If they are experiencing levels of breathlessness that are distressing, that's a 999. Just pick up the phone. Like this is going to be something that people will have to manage and experience. And the lads in the front line are doing Trojan work.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. By the way, does Dr. Ciara Kelly, GP, have a GP?
I haven't been not much, not great at going to the doctor myself.
Doctors aren't,
but I have lots of offers of people being my GP now, and people are being very kind, and lots of offers of help and support, which is very nice to receive. But even if you have a GP at the moment, what we would say to people is don't go there. Pick up the phone to them, because the more you stay home, the more you won't spread it, and that's a really big message.
Is there any apart from the self isolation, which can be I think be extraordinarily difficult, but so important as part of our social contract in the world we live in? Is there anything you've been told not to imbibe? For example, can you have a hot? I don't know if you drink or not here, but can you have a hot whiskey if you fancied one?
I had a small Black Bush last night when I was going to bed, and it made me, I don't know if it did much for the corona, but it certainly made me feel slightly better, and I think that's not an unreasonable thing to do. Obviously, don't go mad if you're under the weather. Alcohol isn't your friend, but a medicinal hot toddy. Who doesn't like that?
I can hear half the country tonight when they go to pour themselves a whiskey and their partner or whatever says, what are you doing? I have a prescription from Dr. Ciara Kelly. I have a prescription.
Okay, and Ciara, she has the corona. Yeah. She knows all about
exactly.
it.
Exactly. She's going through it. Listen, Ciara, thanks indeed. I'm very conscious that you've been broadcasting for 2 hours and prepping for many hours beforehand, as you do. It's now 2:20, and I want you to, as you say, have a rest. I won't detain you.
I'll go back to the bed.
Yeah, thank you so much, Ciara. And I hope you get over
it. Not at all, Joe. Thank you.
I hope you get over it quickly. I hope your relative, I don't know if it's a close relative or whatever, I hope they get the all clear.
Yeah,
I hope
too.
You get through it. Do you intend to continue broadcasting?
I do. I'm going to broadcast every day unless I become more unwell and unable to do so, because I do think it's a bit like what you said, Joe. It's a kind of a weirdly unique perspective that we have, as it happens, a broadcaster who's a doctor and actually has COVID-19 at the moment. So I think that voice is a good voice for people to hear, in that it's reassuring to know, look, this is it. I'm living with it on a daily basis at the moment. I don't feel 100%. I don't think I will feel 100% for a little while, but I will again feel 100%. And I'm going to stay with it and stay with the listeners for as long as I'm able to. And I'm not going to change on that.
Okay. By the way, when was the last time you were sick, Ciara?
Before this, I don't know. I don't know. I'm never sick. So I don't get sick. I could probably count on my fingers the amount of sick days I've ever had in my whole life.
Because I've heard a few people say over the last, well, I'm not going to get it. I never get sick. But you never got sick.
I don't get sick at all. Yeah. No.
Okay, you're lucky.
No one is immune. That's part of it. No one is immune.
Okay. And I heard you were very complimentary earlier on of the Taoiseach's address last night.
Well, I do think it's very helpful that at this point that there is leadership and that we can be reassured that our government, our politicians and our healthcare workers and our public health system, that they are all, this idea that they're not doing anything and they don't know what they're, that's not true. Mm-hmm. I am actually in the loop with a lot of that HSE stuff, and there is enormous planning going on behind the scenes and enormous mobilisation. They're doing a recruitment drive of people.
Yeah.
The guys on the front line in all areas are pulling double and triple shifts. People are really, this is our spirit of the Blitz, Joe. This is us. Yeah, this is our moment. This is our generation's time. And people, Irish people, have great humanity when it comes to things like this. And even when I was on air, I was looking at the messages coming in to me from people I didn't know who say, you don't know me, but I live quite near you. Will I leave something on your doorstep? Like, people, we're good. We're good people. And we have a sense of community. And you know what? We are a tribe, and our safety is in each other's hands in this. And the feeling that we're pulling together helps us. It helps us be resilient around all this. And it's an important part of getting through it.
And it will pass. Everyone is saying that, but it's just we don't know the short or indeed medium term. Dr. Ciara Kelly. Ciara, I'm sorry you're unwell. And I hope you recover quickly. But thank you for that incredible insight into what everyone in the world is talking about. Look after yourself, Ciara, and a quick and speedy recovery.
Thanks,
Joe. That's Dr. Ciara Kelly of News Talk, who announced just after 12 today on her programme live from her hot press. She announced that she's been diagnosed with coronavirus, and the diagnosis came through last night. 51551, wash your hands.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
Joe at rt.ie. Again, the John Boyne story, the competition that John and Cecilia Hearn are sponsoring with Donna Ryan and Paul Murray and Anne Griffin and Claire Kilroy as judges. 300 words, no more, it can be less obviously, 300 words. It's a short story competition, three age groups, 6 to 10, 11 to 14, 15 to 18, and you send the stories to John Boyne Story, one word, John Boyne Story at gmail.com. John Boyne Story at gmail.com, and that's open for till next Monday. I presume John was on at 1:45, so I presume around 2 o'clock next Monday. Let me bring in Coleman. Coleman, sorry for holding you. You run Wheels and Meals nearby here in Donnybrook, and you have there's a shortage of what, Coleman?
Yeah. Joe, thanks very much. Firstly, thank you for giving me the opportunity to make my appeal on your programme today. As the coronavirus sweeps through our nation, we are all naturally frightened and worried for our future.
Yeah.
But the majority of us expect to be able to look after ourselves through it all, and as Dr. Ciara said, come out the other side of it. Mm-hmm. But spare a thought for those who are weaker than us, and with fewer defences than us, and their struggle against the effects of the virus.
Okay, and you run a Meals on Wheels service.
Do.
And are you still running the service? The delivery?
The Donnybrook Day Centre provides a Meals on Wheels and a Day Social Centre service, Joe, for the elderly of mid-southwest Dublin, Donnybrook, Milltown, Clonskee, Dundrum, Churchtown, and Ballantyre.
Okay.
We've already had to close our day centre,
obviously,
to protect our vulnerable clients.
Okay. And how many meals are you delivering every day?
We deliver typically out 75 meals a day.
Wow, well done. So the problem is you cannot get any sanitizer.
We can't get hand sanitizer, and our drivers have to observe the highest of hygiene and hand sanitization practices with this virus.
So how many bottles of hand?
We're looking for small bottles, a 50ml, 100ml bottle. The driver applies the sanitizer as they're getting out of their car. They apply it when they've given the meal over. So twice every delivery.
Well done.
So a bottle will last them a day or two.
So if you don't have sanitizer, you
can't do a service.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And bear in mind, Joe, the meals and meal service is vital to elder persons. This is the main meal
of course,
their day.
Yeah.
It's a hot, ready-to-eat, nutritious meal and a friendly contact person in their day, Monday to Friday. So it's vital, and let's call it, risk-assessed our client base, and we know that our Meals on Wheels recipients cannot be without the meal. They rely on the meal we provide them.
Especially at this time.
At this time.
Coleman, I heard Brona Conlon, who's MD of Listoke Distillery, I think are they up in Drogheda? I think they make gin. They've completely retooled. What you said, it didn't take a big job. They're now making hand sanitizer with the alcohol, 62% proof.
That's
hand
right.
sanit, obviously fragrance and all that carry on, hand proof, and they're selling it at cost, and they're supplying. I know they supply Dublin Fire Brigade, Richard MacDonald there runs all that end of it, all the great crew in DFB, frontline and behind the scenes as well, and they're selling the sanitizer at a cost price. How many bottles do you need, do you think?
For us, we need, we're a relatively small service. We have 30 volunteer drivers, and we've got, say, 10 volunteers working inside the site. Inside the site, we have our own large bottles of sanitizer. Mm-hmm. We can work. Now, we're working with the HSE, as lots of other Meals and Wheels services are throughout the country.
Okay.
We cannot get the small bottles.
That's okay. Well,
somebody can put in their car and go out with it.
Well, do they contact you directly? Where are you?
We're based on Brookvale Road in Donnybrook. We and every other Meals and Wheels service in the country, incidentally, they're all in the same boat as us. We need hand sanitizer.
And did I hear someone say you can buy the ingredients of a sanitizer, like aloe vera, whatever, and alcohol, and mix it yourself?
You have to be able to get 62% alcohol, Joe, which is readily available.
Sure isn't. It sure isn't. We know why. Okay, Coleman, we'll keep in touch. You need bottles of hand sanitizer ASAP.
And people think about their own communities where there are similar services who need these hand sanitizers.
Okay.
Delivery services to our communities are critically reliant on hand sanitizer supplies at this time.
Okay. Well done for your work, all the voluntary work, Coleman, and your colleagues all around the country.
Thanks
indeed. You can contact us at joe@rt.ie. I presume there will be a delivery point, Donnybrook Fire Station or whatever, if somebody wants to.
Exactly, Joe. Yeah. Through your offices there, if that's okay, we can arrange to receive, absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thanks indeed, Coleman. Let me go. Sarah's been holding for a while as well. Apologies, Sarah. 51551, wash your hands. Sarah, you're a nurse in the matter. What happened? And you're in the respiratory unit.
Yeah, so our unit looks after mostly respiratory patients. But I suppose I just wanted to talk about, and in general for a lot of hospitals, the parking issues that healthcare staff are kind of having at the minute. So I suppose I saw today that there was a lot of nurses and things who stayed on over their shifts, you know, a couple of hours on over their shift to help out, who were subsequently clamped in their own car parks and had to pay.
Are you serious?
€100. Yeah, I saw that in a couple in the likes of Beaumont and places in their own hospital car parks, which is really poor form, I think anyone could agree. And in our own car park in work, we're still paying €15 per day to park there. Yeah, or else, you know, there's other car parks kind of further away that are charging less. But, you know, there's still, for the vast majority of healthcare staff, we don't have any parking on site.
And,
you know, which would obviously be a help to us.
Well, given the work you do, given the nature of the virus, I presume it's safer for you to travel alone in a car to work.
Absolutely.
If you're lucky enough to have a car. But
yeah, I mean, we haven't been given any real, you know, directives, but I suppose for each of us, we're, you know, trying to avoid public transport where we can, so that we don't catch it off anyone on public transport, or they don't catch it off us. We're obviously a very high risk. So it makes sense for us to travel alone in our cars where we can, or carpool with our colleagues and things. But it's difficult, you know, when you're having to park 15, 20 minutes away, or you're having to pay the €15 a day, that obviously all adds up. It's very expensive.
And who do you know who owns the car park in your hospital?
So I think for a lot of the hospitals, they're owned, the actual car parks are owned by the hospital themselves, and then they're usually run by
one of the, they're all reputable companies, one of the big companies, Euro or NCP or whatever, Quick Park is another big one as well.
Is there not
an irony here? On the one hand, we're told no visitors to hospitals, isn't that correct?
A lot of
elective surgery and outpatient clinics gone. So the car parks aren't full,
no,
I suspect.
There's a handful of cars in there most of the time, and a lot of that would be staff who are just willing to pay the €15 or whatever it is. But no visitors, or very few, only for usually dying patients or certain cohorts of patients. So there's really very, 440 spaces in the car park under the Mater. And there's probably, just a handful of cars in there at the minute.
But somebody is going around a handful of cars and clamping them. I'm not saying in that matter or whatever, but in some, I've been sent photographs, and some of these car parks, which are empty, the employees are still, so no, I don't want anyone out of a job, including
in the car park.
But they could be redeployed to other stuff to do training or whatever. But the employees are still told to go round a half empty or one third empty car park and see, can we clamp anybody?
Yep. And healthcare staff are still paying the €100, €80 fines.
But how could someone pay £15 a day? That's £90 every 6 days. How could you pay that out of a salary for parking?
We park further away from the office, a couple of kilometres and walk in. Or we get public transport.
Sarah, and you work in the respiratory unit. I don't want any breach of the confidence, which I know you won't, but ignore my question if you wish. Have you dealt with any coronavirus patients yet there?
We've had some suspected, but no, we haven't had any directly in my area.
Good stuff, Sarah. Let me bring Anne in, who's also a nurse in, she's a GP nurse in Waterford. Anne, good afternoon.
Hi, Joe. How are you?
This parking thing has resonated with you. What happened?
Absolutely. Similar to Sarah, but not quite as bad. I work in a GP practice in Waterford, and we're on street parking, so we just have to go to the meter a couple of times a day and top up our parking ticket, which roughly worked out about £1,200 a year in parking.
But usually
I have a sign up in the car, as we all do, just saying that we're a nurse on call or a doctor on call.
Oh, do you? Okay.
So hopefully there'll be a bit of leeway there if you don't get time to get out and re-top up your ticket. But last week we were so busy, I didn't get a chance on a couple of occasions
of course,
to get out in time, and I got two tickets in the one week.
Ah, no.
Yeah, yeah. So it's the next.
And was a sign in your window saying nurse on call?
Yeah, with the doctor's stamp on it, an official.
Yeah, that's what
one.
I mean, official.
Yeah, and we only have one parking permit. We've three doctors here, and a number of admin staff and myself. Then, and we have only one permit between us all.
And you've been hit by £80 fine so far.
£80, yeah, in 1 week, yeah.
Who's responsible for the parking?
So it would be Waterford City Council.
Ah, come on, lads.
I understand, these things have to happen, but at the same time, in this time, you think there would be a little bit of leeway.
Yeah.
We are very busy. It's sometimes impossible to get a lunch break, let alone get out to top up your parking ticket.
Yeah. And can you appeal it? Is there an appeal system? Now, I know, I know you have enough much more important work to be doing, by the way. I'm conscious of that, given your work as a GP nurse. But can you appeal it?
There is an appeals option. Now, in the past, it happened to me where we had an emergency. And again, I got ticketed. I appealed it and it was rejected.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, and just straight out, no, there was no, they just said this.
Because I noticed, and we're willing to advertise these things if people wish to use us. But I noticed, for example, the Port Tunnel in Dublin, which can cost between, I think it's tenner and off-peak times, peak times, that they've just introduced a flat fee of €3 €3 all day, every day. Now, trucks are free, as we know, but all day, and buses, but all day, every day, the poor tunnel is now £3 to try and help people get home a little bit quicker in these really crisis times. Yeah. Okay, Gary Brown is on the line. Gary works in advertising and marketing, has for many a long year, well known, and a playwright. Gary, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe.
Have you a list of things you want for our health workers?
I do indeed. I mean, you know, this is a different time, so we need to stop trying to do things differently and start doing different things to help to these people and take the hassle out of their lives, especially frontline people.
Okay.
For example, it would be, I mean, the Taoiseach made a great speech yesterday about resources he's putting behind this, but they'll only be words unless we take in, you know, do some action. These people need, we need to take the hassle out of frontline workers' lives, like those people who've been on, I mean, imagine coming out after a 15-hour shift and find your car clamped, you're saving people's lives. So I'm suggesting the following. A permit be issued to every member of frontline staff, be they medics, doctors, nurses, all frontline people, which they can place in their car, which will allow them to park for free in car parking spaces, not just in hospitals, but anywhere they want to that's near their place of employment.
Right.
This permit will also allow them to go toll-free through tunnels and bridges.
Okay.
This permit, where necessary, will allow them to use bus lanes if they need to get quickly in and out of their workplace.
Great idea, yeah.
I'm also suggesting that in some cases that they're able to use taxis free and the government pays for it.
Okay.
Other things that, you know, these people have children, and if they're required at the front line, their partners would probably have to mind the children. So the government should reimburse people's partners, frontline's partners who are minding children, to enable them to get in and out of work.
Okay.
These things can be done very, very quickly and expediently because we need these people. These people are saving lives. And remember, we live in a society, not an economy. And, you know, economies bounce back, but our dead loved ones won't. So it's really important that we act quickly. And the issuing of a permit would be really easy. And, you know, I don't really want people to be filling out forms.
Absolutely.
Take them at face value.
Yeah.
You know, some people will abuse this. So what?
Get
frontline people in and out of work with less hassle. They don't have to worry about being clamped. They don't have to worry about bus lanes. They don't have to worry about tolls. All of these things will really make their life a hell of a lot easier and will help to save lives. Because, you know, that wonderful Irishman with the WHO, he's talking about urgency and expediency. Yeah. And, you know, so I think that,
and
that's
also, he also said, which is your point, Gary, he also said nothing is perfect. Nothing.
Exactly.
We can't wait for perfection. Let's get going on this.
And stop trying to be perfect and start being remarkable.
Okay, so you don't want people saying, oh, be abused, left, as you say,
what?
You have an idea about public transport.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, people are working from home and people have been asked to be flexible. Also, people are spreading this disease in close contact. What if the government, for the duration of this period when we're under this extreme pressure from the virus, that off peak times, public transport is free?
Okay.
So what that would do, hopefully, would be that it would alleviate rush hour times. People would think twice about getting on a train or a Dart or a Lewis or a bus if they knew they could go for free. So say, for example, off peak times from 10 o'clock till, say, 3:30 in the afternoon, public transport is free. That would help a lot of people to have flexi work times.
Okay, yeah,
also, it would also hopefully take the big, you know, the big crowds off Darts and Lewis's who are infecting one another, being on top of one another.
Yeah, I saw photographs this morning. It was from the London Underground, but it was crazy. Just hundreds of people on a platform, cheek by jowl, and you have to Boris Johnson on two nights ago saying social distance is really important, 2 metres, which is the height of your hall door, basically. There they are on the tube. They probably argue I have no alternative. But anyway, that's a good idea for people to stagger their times. An encouragement to stagger your times is between 10 and 3:30. Public transport is free.
Yes. I think that would help. Also, I'd like, you know, in terms of testing centres, if the HSE need new testing centres, what they could do, especially drive-to testing centres, why not use the tunnels, various tunnels that we have, stop traffic from 8 o'clock in the evening until 5 o'clock in the morning, so people can actually use those areas for testing centres, drive through the port tunnel, get tested. drive to the Jack Lynch Tunnel, get tested. Okay. I'm talking about off-peak times when most traffic won't be affected. Now, some people would be put out with that, but however, you know what, if it helps get people tested, that would be a big help as well. Using facilities that we have available where people can drive to. For example, lots of people, Croke Park is great at a testing centre, but people from North County Dublin are going to struggle to get in there. What if they could drive through the tunnel between 8 and 5 a.m. and get a test?
Okay.
You know, and I think, you know, stuff like that will really help and get, you know, maybe open people's minds to what can be done. I think there's, for example, we hear, for being a member of a golf club myself, golf clubs will be closed to people. So in rural areas, golf clubs that are closed, the clubhouses, why not make them available for testing centres for people to go and visit?
Okay. And if the golf clubs are closed, can people... I
think they can still go out and play golf with social distancing because it's one of those games you can do that. But they're not allowed to enter the clubhouse.
Well, I'm just very conscious of all those incredible green spaces because we heard the representative of the Parks and Wildlife on this morning saying Glendalough yesterday, I'm paraphrasing, was like Henry Street. And he thinks people weren't, because people wanted to get out. And the Bull Wall yesterday was like Henry Street in the afternoon, and which is magnificent. Magnificent features like that all over the country. Anne's Park was very busy up where I live. But the people were saying, the man on the Morning Ireland was saying, the rep from the OPW was saying, people need to maintain social distance everywhere, not just indoors, but outdoors as well. So, Gary, they're great ideas. You hit on the car parking one just as the two. Medics were on saying they've been hit, which is just unbelievable.
But I just think for this time, Joe, that's in it, I mean, we have to try and take the hassle out of the lives of people who are putting their lives on the line anything we do to alleviate that, we should do it immediately.
Okay, by the way, the car park in the matter is run by Euro Car Parks. Dave Cullen has been on with us before. Now, Dave is saying that it's up to the matter. They run it for the matter, and the matter set the toll. So it's up to the matter hospital board to decide, which seems very simple to me, that staff can use the car park for free. 15 quid a day. That's 90 quid every 6 days.
I know, but
days.
I think it needs a director from the government, Joe, to issue these permits to people and to extend it just beyond parking. If they can't get a space in the car park, they can park outside the hospital and not get towed away.
Okay,
there's
Dave Cullen taking up your idea. David Cullen, MD of Euro Car Parks. He said, we have suspended all clamping activity nationwide with the exception of crucial A&E areas, which is important. We don't want people parking in A&E areas and we don't want people parking illegally. Dave Cullen says, we have instead, this is your theory as well, or your philosophy, Gary, we have instead diverted our clamping teams to provide community pharmacy deliveries and elderly shopping assistance at no charge. Isn't that fantastic? That's Euro
Car Parks.
No clamping except where you're doing it illegally and blocking ambulances or whatever. And they haven't clamped anyone, they say, for example, in the matter. I know the photographs weren't from the matter, but the nurse that contacted us is in the matter, but it's still 15 quid a day. But that's, as Euro Car Parks say, that's up to the matter to decide. Okay, Gary Brown.
But also, free tolls, toll bridges, let them go in and out for free. Let them use the bus lanes if they need to get into work urgently.
Okay, Gary Brown, thanks indeed. Gary Brown from the... What agency are you with at the minute, Gary? Were you
owning? JWT Focus, the one I've been with for 30 years.
Is that the one you own? Do you own that one?
I'm one of the owners, yeah.
Okay, and you're still down in Balls
We're
Bridge?
We're still in our Cumberland Road there, yeah.
Yeah. You were the famous... the famous agency that hung that incredible image of Brian O'Driscoll, wasn't it?
Fair play. Do you remember that? That's a good few years ago.
Seeing it. It's really, really striking. And that's the creative. And there was a great slogan on it as well, actually.
There was.
I can't remember the slogan, but it was a great slogan. It was about, wasn't it, when Brian
and he said, enjoy your retirement. The opposition will as well. So something along that line. But one more thing, Joe. In terms of contact tracing, I see the Israelis are using mobile technology to help in that.
Okay.
So basically, if someone is, becomes infected with COVID, if they can use their mobile phone to trace where they've been.
Okay.
Because not everybody will remember where exactly they've been, yet their mobile phone leaves kind of an indelible mark. Now, they're able to use it in crime scenes, etc. So why can't we use it for this as well?
Okay. Okay. That's Gary Brown from JWT. Focus or Folk? I get mixed up at times.
Folk. You have to be careful how you say that. Folk.
Okay. Yeah. JWT Folk. Okay. Thanks to you, Gary. Appreciate it. And a player. And a playwright as well. And a very good one, too. Gandhi Malak. Gandhi, good afternoon. Another idea. Go ahead, Gandhi. How are you?
Hello, George. Good afternoon. How are you?
Good to talk to you. And you, as most people know, you run the Damascus Gate. Sorry, a lot of people know. A Damascus Gate restaurant there at the top of Camden Street. I think you've one in Terranure. What's your offer, Gandhi?
We are offering a free meal to any of the frontline services, workers, doctors, nurses, guards. They could come in and between 12 to 12.
Okay.
They don't have to be in uniform, as long as they show us any indication, badge, that's who they are. And we'll provide them with 2-course meal from the a la carte menu.
Well done.
And that's for free.
And you're open noon to midnight every day?
Yes.
And Gandhi, has your business been affected, by the way?
Well, there is no business at all. There is no customers. There is no trade, but sitting at home, watching the TV, it takes us nowhere. I decided not to be sitting on my hands. If I can't help, perhaps I'll be able to help the people who are helping.
And remember as well, as Professor Martin Cormacan pointed out on Friday last when he was in with us, and we had an incredible reaction to him in particular and his clarity. He said hot food cannot transmit the virus, for example. Piping good, nutritious hot food. So you're saying, will you deliver to fire stations or Garda stations or civil defence posts?
Well, personally, I called all the local Garda station, Harcourt, Kirti Street, Kevin Street, Terranure, Rathfarnham. I called the majority of them, and we are just on our phones. Anybody calls, we are more than happy to deliver, waiting them opening hours 12 to 12.
Okay.
We are down in the staff, both at least. We have one in the kitchen, one in the floor, just to provide the care for the community.
Okay.
That will include any vulnerable, any senior citizens. So far, we didn't say no to anyone. Once the phone rings, we get the move, like, and we are in our cars. About the food hygiene and the transmission of breathing rather than through the digesting system, I'm not the one who will be able to talk about it. But what I know that we are spraying the place 3 times a day from the front, the kitchen, chairs. We have good stockage of hygiene liquids, hand sanitizers. Our staff all have the equipment of the mask, hand sanitizers, clothes, and we are taking really good care of the food before giving it to anyone.
Okay, well done. And I know you've been there for 20 years, and I know the food is fantastic. It's Lebanese / Syrian / really nutritious, really tasty food as well. So, Gandhi, where are you from originally?
Originally, I am from Syria.
Sorry, okay.
Today, there is no Lebanese, Syrian. We are all equal facing this virus. Suppose I taking so much from this country and in this crisis. I'm home from home, and I'm more than happy to be the first one to volunteer and to do something. And it's only returning a favor. I'm not giving anyone a favor here.
Okay. Again, I'm very conscious that Syria, unfortunately, because listening in particular to the reports, Arlo Guérin's reports over the last few weeks from Syria, that they were on the verge of another, almost a bloodbath, I think was the phrase. Have you still got family in Syria, Gandhi?
Well, the closer family, the majority of them are here in Ireland. Ireland being very kind to me in person and to my family as well. But still a few people there are trapped. They can't get out. Like my little sister is here. She's away from her toddler for the last 2 years. Sure, we can't send my sister, but so far we can't bring her daughter and so on. But Anyway, now the whole world is facing this crisis, and we should be all equally united against it.
This virus knows no borders, knows no nationalities, knows no tribe. Well done, Gandhi. That's Gandhi Malak. The Masket Gate restaurant, Camden Street and Terenure, offering a free two-course meal to any frontline services, civil defence, fire brigade, Gardaí, medics. And you don't have to be in uniform, just present your ID card. And they will also, if they can, they will also do deliveries to the frontline services. 51551, wash your hands.
Yo!
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
And joe@rt.ie. And as I say, 51551, wash your hands. Let me bring in Claire Sweeney, because we were just one organ. I think there's many more of them looking for hand sanitizers. Just go ahead, Claire. You're from Distinct Distribution.
Hi, Joe. Yeah, yeah, we're based in Bray. We're a small distribution company that services pharmacies in Ireland.
Okay.
I came in on the tail end of Coleman's kind of piece there. So I believe he was looking for hand sanitizer. We have endeavoured to try and supply with our customers for the past 3-4 weeks. We have supply coming in this Friday, next week, the week after. So I know I'm not the only one in the kind of pharmacy beauty world trying their best to get supply. So we're hoping that all of the shelves will be stocked in the coming days, weeks.
And have you sanitizer at the moment that we could get to Coleman?
We have some. It's on a truck on its way from Heathrow. It should be here with us in the morning.
Okay, good stuff. And you'll undertake to get some to Donnybrook.
Of course. Yeah.
Okay, well done, well done. How are the supply lines, as they say, Claire? We're told there's nothing to worry about, unless the truck drivers become, who are so important, the men and women who drive the trucks.
So important. On my way to work, I gave a big thumbs up at 7 a.m. this morning to a Musgrave driver. I mean, luckily, in terms of how their trucks operate, they don't have a lot of contact when they load back into a loading bay, so they can limit, but they have to be protected. They have to have hand sanitizer. They have to make sure that, you know, people who are in high touch contact are have that kind of product. So, I mean, there may be some minor delays, but as far as I'm aware, all of the courier systems are operating. They're doing a great job. I mean, we work with, you know, DPD, GLS, all of the you know, B2C ones, and they really are kind of trying their best and making sure that everyone gets what they need. So,
okay, there's another. I quickly do it. Suzanne Ryan, your point, please. You deliver 97 meals on wheels, 12 drivers, Rathmines, Rathgar, Terenure. You're looking for hands.
Absolutely, Joe. Thank you very much for taking the call. Yes, we've been looking for them since last week, and obviously our clients are very appreciative of us coming to their house, as you can imagine. And, you know, we just feel we just need that for extra safety for our drivers.
And then I see, now again, I can't verify this on air, but I will say it because I heard it on another radio station, and I think there are companies in Dublin that sell the ingredients, aloe vera and alcohol over 62%. One of them I told is Salon Savers in Dublin, and you can mix and make your own sanitizer. Obviously, that's not ideal. And I know the gin company, that's simply this. I heard Brona on, she said it wasn't a big change for them to change from using the alcohol to get for gin to then use that for hand sanitizer. It wasn't as big a retooling operation as they thought. Could the homeowners, I wonder, Elizabeth, Suzanne, could they leave, if they had hand sanitizer? Again, this could be awkward. I don't know if people live... Could they leave it outside their door?
But the problem is that they're going missing, Joe.
They're going missing, of course.
Exactly. And they could be delivering 10 dinners on a route.
Good point.
Going from house to house. So
yeah.
When they leave that house to hand sanitize,
I don't want to overload Claire Sweeney either, but we will put you in touch with Distinct Distribution. What's your Meals and Wheels group called, Suzanne?
Meals and Wheels Rathgar.
Meals and Wheels
Rathgar. I have my mobile number there, Joe, and my email. You can send that on.
Stay well and God bless your work. Thanks indeed, Suzanne.
Okay,
and also Claire Sweeney
much.
Of Distinct Distribution is answering those calls. 51551.
Joe Duffy!
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
Okay, we're getting a lot of calls as well from people who are stuck in Cyprus. just to acknowledge that after listening, we'll try and ring Ryanair to see can we expedite. They're saying that the PM of Cyprus has said everything is shutting this Saturday and tourists to go home, but a lot of them can't get home. Okay, we'll try and get that tomorrow, but you're not forgotten. Mark McGraw's on sound, the broadcast coordinator was Doc Martin. The show today was produced by Fergus Sweeney. Rebecca Meehan is a series producer. By the way, John Byrne, don't send the stories to us. John has a whole team of judges for his 300 word short story competition. Nearly €4,000 in prize in book tokens as prizes. You send your stories between now and next Monday, 300 words or less, to John Byrne Story, one word, johnbynestory@gmail.com. Ray Darcy is next. Stay well, look after each other, wash your hands.